So on today's podcast, we head to the Holy Land to join Bishop Declan Lang, Bishop of Clifton and long-term chair of what's called the Holy Land Coordination, a prayerful annual pilgrimage of bishops from around the world to the lands of Christ's life and ministry. But actually, you're not there, Bishop Declan. You're in Bristol because the COVID-19 pandemic clearly has stopped travel as we fight the spread of this awful virus. Now, obviously, I suppose one of the key things about the pandemic is that there's almost a total lack of pilgrims in this region that we love so much. And that has a big economic knock-on effect, the tourism industry, the olive wood carvings and the other things that those pilgrims would buy. What have you learned from those people that have spoken to the group about that sort of an already quite desperate situation being made all the more so by the economic impact and the lack of pilgrims?
Well, it is a desperate situation. And we've learned that families who depend upon the industry, such as the olive wood carvings, have no income. And they are totally dependent upon food parcels from charity agencies and church agencies. It has just slowed life down completely. And for some people, I suppose it's really just existence, not living. So it's made a situation which, as you know, James, is a bad one anyway. It's made it even worse. And families are finding great hardship. And I'm sure that's also putting strain on family life, as it is in this country and other countries where we're suffering from coronavirus.
I kind of sense, sitting on those remote sessions, that there's a sort of general feeling that there's less cause for hope. And perhaps that's not just the pandemic. I've heard things being spoken about, such as, you know, in terms of blockade and occupation, you know, nothing seems to change. And we've done this, haven't we, for a decade or more, and our predecessors before, a decade or so before that. How do we feel about the hope situation? Because as Christians, we are hope-filled people, or we should seek to be the hope in Christ. But isn't it hard to generate that hope when nothing seems to change in the Holy Land?
It's very difficult to find signs of hope. I think if we're looking at the political level, politics is very unstable at the moment. As you know, Israel is going for another general election, its fourth general election. And the leadership in the West Bank also has been there for quite a while. There needs almost to be, I think, a change in leadership, or for politicians to be talking to one another with respect for each other and really listening and having a dialogue between themselves. There are signs of hope, but the hope is amongst the ordinary people, the everyday people, who are trying to work together to break down barriers and to respond, as the Christian community does, in a great way to the wider needs of the community, such as in education and in healthcare. It's interesting that in Gaza, the parish priest of the Holy Family Church was telling us he's only got 150 members of his parish, but the amount of work that they do is amazing. They're like the seed in the gospel that's sown that produces a great harvest. The work in Gaza of the church in education and in trying to train people to be ready for employment is very remarkable. And it's very humbling as well, as you see people trying to live their Christian faith under great pressure and difficult circumstances.
You mentioned Gaza. I was very moved, actually, by that session that we had on the realities in Gaza, because we know, you know, even getting in is very difficult. But I was very struck by that. And as you say, the church really does do its pastoral work for the common good in Gaza, doesn't it? Because what was it, 150, roughly, maybe a few less Latin Catholics, only 1,077 Christians, full stop, in a population of 2 million people. But the thing that struck me on top of that is that obviously there's only 6-7% of Christians in the Christian schools. So it is serving the wider community. And that wonderful statistic that we learnt from Caritas of some 61% of home healthcare visits are facilitated by Caritas in the whole of Gaza for that population, you know, of 2 million. I think we can learn a sort of lesson of a model of service, can't we? Because other bishops have said, well, you know, the new normal when it comes is not going to be the same. There are going to be great changes, and perhaps we will have to punch above our weight. And maybe that Gaza example is rather a good one of how the church punches above its weight, do you think?
I think it's the model of the church as servant, as we're servant to people in their need. And also what we receive from those people as well, I think, is important, that we're not just there to give, give, give. We're there to receive from those people who might be in situations which are materially less favourable than ours are. And yet they seem to have grasped something that's very essential to the Christian faith, and that is love of God expressed in love of neighbour. It's a very practical form of Christianity. Perhaps that's what we need the church to do in Western Europe and other places, to become more a servant church, a church that is there to serve the wider community in its needs.
And you mentioned that change of leadership in terms of the politics. What do you think we can expect of our government and indeed the international community when it comes to perhaps being a bit more dynamic and changing the narrative on Israel and Palestine?
We were told by some people that they fear that the Israel-Palestine question is no longer a priority in the agenda of many countries where used to be engaged in the whole dialogue. I think we have to keep pressing on our government the importance of having peace in that part of the world, but a peace that is based upon justice, and to keep pressing the Israeli government and the Palestinian authorities to establish peace talks again and to make it a priority, because if there is peace in the Middle East, then there is peace, one could say, in the greater part of the world.
And we often, you know, we are talking about the lands of Christ's birth, ministry, passion and resurrection, and yet sometimes it's sort of, we don't hear his name very often, do we? And yet at least the Holy Land coordination always is rooted in prayer. But how do we bring that sort of love of Christ to the people of the Holy Land, even, you know, from our position here several thousand miles away?
Well, I think it's brought to the people of the Holy Land by the Christians there in the Holy Land. It was emphasized by Father Gabriel, for instance, and the Holy Family in Gaza, that the church is there, first of all, to be a church of prayer, a church that is open to the transforming power of the Word of God, and that it's through prayer and through uniting ourselves to Christ that we're able to go out and do things which perhaps might seem impossible. As St. Paul said, we can achieve things which we think are impossible, which we could never even imagine in the past. Yet in the present, they happen because we are acting in Christ's name. I think we can support the people of the Holy Land ourselves through prayer and through pilgrimages as well, because pilgrimages will bring back to the people of the Holy Land, especially the Palestinians, a living so that they can live with a sense of dignity. And also to remember that they're not forgotten, because again, as we've heard in other years, they often feel a forgotten people. But I think we can assure them that they are not forgotten. And the Holy Land Coordination Group, because of its annual visit, partly does that. It tells the people, we do remember you because we're all part of the same family, we're all part of the same church. And I think because it's a holy land to Islam, to Judaism and to Christianity, it should really be a land of dialogue and become a model and example of people living in harmony together rather than in tension.
And just one final word on those people of Israel and Palestine, the people of the Holy Land, the Christians, everybody. One thing that does strike me in that one occasion I was there was actually, despite the challenges, most people want to get along with one another in a very simplistic way. The hospitality is always very strong.
I think certainly hospitality is a mark of the people of the Holy Land. We've always been greeted very warmly and generously as well. I think that's where the hope is. The ordinary people, as I said earlier, just trying to get on together, living with one another in peace and harmony. Because I think both sides, if you talk about sides of Israelis and Palestinians, they want peace, they want harmony. They want their families to flourish because they love their families. What needs to happen, I think, is through dialogue, a trust needs to be built up again between the two peoples. But not until that trust is established, I don't think will anything really happen at a deep level.
Well, we'll certainly pray for that. And thank you, Bishop Declan, ever so much for your insight, garnered from the many years that you've been visiting the Holy Land. Not so this year, but nonetheless, I think it's been a valuable coordination nonetheless.
As they say, next year in Jerusalem.
Absolutely. Bishop Declan, thank you very much.
Thank you, James.